All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. We're in off-season mode, and Dan and I have our annual draft preview where we look at kind of what the Bills are hoping to do or maybe hoping to get done in a couple of nights here on Thursday night, the 24th, when the draft kicks off in Green Bay, Wisconsin. How are we doing, Dan?
Doing good, man. So happy that it is voluntary workout time this year. Draft season is upon us. You can almost smell the apple pie cooking as autumn approaches and football season is ready to kick off. I can't wait, man. I'm so stoked.
We're just going to skip right over summer. And in the Northeast, it's like the best time we have. But, you know, we'll just jump right to fall.
Oh, that's a hot take for me. Oh, no, I'm a fall guy.
Okay.
I'm an upstate New York fall guy.
Yeah.
Summer is the best season. I don't know, man. It's humid. It's raining. I got to mow my lawn. Give me the fall.
Pumpkin spice lattes all around for Dan. All right.
Damn. So, touche, sir. Touche. Well,
let's jump into it. And let's kind of start with ranking where we believe the Buffalo Bills' top needs are in this draft. Where would you go if all other things are equal, if every position's available, what is your pick position-wise for that with that 30th overall?
I've been saying this for a couple of years. I understand what the Philadelphia Eagles did to the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl was a product of just a vicious defensive line. They did a really great job. What was underrated about that, though, was the fact that there were just athletic freaks at the back end of that defense. And Keon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, that were just locking down Kansas City's wide receivers. I am going to put secondary as my number one need. I know this is an unpopular pick with a lot of Bills fans that want a Derek Harmon or a Kenneth Grant. But for me, no matter the situation, we've seen this Buffalo Bills four-man rush struggle at many times to get pressure on opposing QB. Coverage needs to hold up. I think the Buffalo Bills need to flip their approach, get a bunch of freaks that can cover everywhere on the field, and give your defensive line an opportunity to get a sack as opposed to working it the other way around. So I'm actually going CB, man. I think they need some good cover guys, some guys with some man traits, but you know, what do I know? I've only been saying it for 3 years and it hasn't happened. So,
yeah. Okay. And this is where we depart, because it's the classic question of what is more important, coverage or pass rush, right? And I think that the Buffalo Bills, having only made two defensive line choices in the first round, in the entirety of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's time on task, tells me that picking as high as they possibly can a defensive lineman, an impact starter, of which this draft class has a number of excellent impact starters that you can get later in the round better than any recent memory of draft, you know. And for that reason, I think that, you know, the needs line up with this draft class in a way where, for me, it's defensive interior with some pass rush juice. For the Bills Mafia out there who are like, I need a 350-pound, you know, guy. I need a Ted Washington.
I need Kenneth Grant.
I need somebody who's a giant mountain of a man. I'm not there. I just need the best combination of size and athleticism at defensive tackle that you can get, and I can make that work, right? Like they have to have a pass rush upside, because having picked Ed Oliver and then much later on Greg Rousseau at the end of the round, that's it for your premier kind of blue chip investments in the defensive line. And then you have others, you know, free agents all across the board, old vets, picking up Joey Bosa. You've got AJ Epineza, who was a later second round pick. Like they just need talent investment in that first round. That's why it's D-line for me. And that could be edge or interior, but I prefer interior because behind DaQuan Jones, it's literally, I don't know, Zion Logue, like, who do they have?
Yeah, I mean, no one, really, yeah. With Ogunjobi being on that 6-game suspension.
Right.
Listen, I think two things can be true, and I agree with you that it is a travesty that the Buffalo Bills have not invested more draft capital in the defensive line, especially after taking Ed Oliver, where they took him with a top 10 pick the year he was drafted. That being said, though, they play so many teams, dude, that just they get rid of the ball so quickly. They're going to play Cincinnati this year. Joe Burrow gets rid of the ball in 2 seconds. Tua gets rid of the ball in 2 seconds. We see him twice a year. All these teams that have not developed the advanced running game that Baltimore, Buffalo, and Philadelphia have developed are all leaning into this quick game as an extension of the run game. And for me, it doesn't matter how good your defensive line is. There is no one in the league that is getting to a QB in under 2 seconds, so you need your coverage to hold up. And I think there's some defensive line prospects later on in the draft that they can get that'll help bolster the ranks there. To me, if there is a blue chip dude at cornerback that has an actual athletic profile that the Bills have been afraid to take, I want them to take the plunge. I want them to do it. But I definitely get where you're coming from.
And I'll say this, I get where you're coming from, too. One of the biggest frustrations I have with the Sean McDermott / Bobby Babich defense is the rotation of defensive lines where they're like, let's have, instead of having four premier blue chip athletes, let's have eight mediocre people rotate 50% of the snaps each.
A lot of B-plus guys. Yeah. Let's have a lot of B-plus guys.
Yeah, let's have a lot. It's a moneyball approach. And so to your point, in agreement with your point, a cornerback in this defense plays every snap. You know, the 100% snap guys are your starting outside corners, and then your 80% snap guy is, you know, the nickel with Teron Johnson. And so I get the investment in terms of just a pure hours on the field standpoint. Having a CB that you start plug and play day one starter, much value in respect to that position. And further to your point, there is a, and to mine as well, there's a lot of depth at the defensive line in this draft.
There's a chance
you get somebody who is a round one level impact starter on day two, but really a solid every down starter on day two.
Yeah. And the Buffalo Bills, JJ, they've got 10 picks in the draft. They have the most picks out of any AFC playoff team from the previous year. They're gonna work. I would assume Bean is going to work some magic to get back up into the third round to regain that pick that they lost in the trade for Amari Cooper and figure out a way to have the Buffalo Bills get four top 100 picks, which would just further allow them to exploit some of that starter caliber depth that we both feel is sitting in this draft. I think we both agree on this point. The Buffalo Bills just need dudes. They need some studs. Yeah. They need some ceiling raisers on this defense. That is what Philadelphia had. And that, whether it was on the defensive line, whether it was in the defensive secondary, they just had dudes that could play football. True athletes that could transcend the scheme. And that's what the Bills need.
Yep. Let Josh Allen elevate role players on offense and invest to have difference makers on defense. That's what the theme of the draft. If I had to nail down what I hope the theme for this team is, it's that.
All right, man. I love it. So where do you want to start? Because the Bills are going to pick here at number 30 this year.
Yep.
They don't have a third round pick. They've got two picks in the second round.
56 and 62.
Correct. So let's start with your ideal. Let's call it dream scenario. So it would be defensive line. Who are some of those guys that you would want to target if the board fell the way that you hope it falls, assuming the Bills don't make a trade up?
Yeah, so for me, one of these four players, one of these five players falling to the Bills in that bottom of the first round on the defensive line, Donovan Isiraku from Boston College, who's a non-traditional body type for the Bills. They like, you know, the Greg Rousseau, the 6'7", 270-pound, you know, edge setter who can maintain in the run and then have some pass rush upside. That's not Donovan Isiraku. He's like 6'2", 240. And so he has a much more of an outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme body type. But the Bills have shown with the signing of Von Miller that they're willing to kind of play in that field. So Donovan Isiraku, I think he has one of the most natural pass rushers, and he has the bend the edge of it ability that you like. The Bills have not had on their team other than the first four games or whatever when Von Miller came over. Michael Williams, I think, is also excellent. Nick Scowerton out of Texas A&M has the body type. Those are the edges I would consider at 30. Yeah. So those three edges are there for me. I'm out on Shamar Stewart I just don't think that I know you're out to somebody who has those incredible Myles Garrett level athletic measurables, but wasn't able to turn that into production in either tackles for loss or sacks in the college level. I don't think they're going to be able to find that in the NFL. We might be totally wrong, but I don't buy it.
If he gets drafted by the Eagles, he will.
Well, that's the thing, is like, he's got the athletic skills to clean up sacks that other people, you know, create from their pressures. That's possible. But the Bills don't have that line. So I'm out on him for the Bills. And then for the defensive tackles, and these are my two sort of dream scenarios, Kenneth Grant and Derek Harmon.
God, yes.
Either one of those. Give me one of the two of those. Honorable mention to Walter Nolan. I just really like the way he plays. He's got a hot motor. Doesn't give up on plays. But, you know, I think they'd be overdrafting him if they took him at the end of the first.
You think so?
I think so. I think, yeah. Walter Nolan, yeah. I mean, I've seen some mocks, you know, it's guest season, where he's like going as high as 24, but I think that's a little bit of an overdraft. So those are that's my like dream scenario for the first round, is one of those five or six players. And, you know, to your preference, if Jahdae Barron or Will Johnson or Trey Amos are there, then I'm like really conflicted.
Yes.
Based on, you should be. Yeah. If they're there and Kenneth Grant and Derek Harmon are gone, I'm probably going to flip to CB.
Yeah, I mean, and
if any one of them three is there.
Dude, Trey Amos, 6'1", 195, has the arm length, the intelligence, the zone capabilities that the Bills look for, and he has legitimate polish with man technique as well. I would love it if this dude fell to the Bills. I've seen him mocked a couple of times at pick 30 to the Bills. I think out of all the CBs, I think the Bills would really like a guy like Trey Amos, and I think sneakily, Jahdae Barron out of Texas, I agree with you. If he's sitting there at 30, here's what he doesn't give you right away. He is not like a lockdown outside corner. This dude is this year's Brian Branch.
He's
right?
A tweener.
He's a little bit of a tweener, but dude, Bobby Babich would have an opportunity to do some super sick things with Barron in the mix. And he gives us a legitimate successor, pending what Daquan Hardy, you know, ends up being able to do in OTAs and training camp this year. He gives us a legitimate A-plus successor to Taron Johnson, which I love Taron Johnson. We all love Taron Johnson. That dude throws around his 5'11 frame with the recklessness that Josh Allen throws around his 6'5 frame. You know what I mean? And 5'11 don't hold up the same as 6'5. Right. He's had some injuries. He's entering his year 29 season. I have seen that dude in run fits disappear into piles of men twice his size, and I find myself holding my breath, hoping he will come out of it. He just has a lot of tread on the tires. And if you can get a guy like Barron with the 30th pick, not only is there some immediate fun dime package stuff that Babich can do with both Taron Johnson and Barron on the field at the same time, but you shore up what is an insanely important position for you for the long term and finding your replacement for Johnson. So, dude, if Barron's there, I love it. Staying on the cornerback kick, we talked about Barron, we talked about Amos. Siobhan Revelle is a dude who a lot of Bills fans have been tracking, pending what his health outlook looks like. If he can keep that 4.3 speed with that 6'2", 200-pound frame, this is a dude that translates to zone, has real man capabilities, and you can grow into your system in a way that's going to make him a legitimate outside corner. So I like him there at 30 as well. Let's say all these guys are gone and the Buffalo Bills are forced to go either defensive back more generally, or they go defensive line, which I agree with you is a big need here. I'm looking at a guy like Malachi Starks, who for me, it would be the dream of dreams if Starks falls to 30. He can do all the stuff that Micah Hyde could do. He will allow Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp to play closer to the line of scrimmage, which is their comfort zone. It feels like a bit of an excess at 30 when you've already brought in Forrest, you've re-signed Hamlin, you have Rapp, you have Bishop. But Malachi Starks is really the piece that sets that center fielder need to rest for the Buffalo Bills in the safety room. And if a dude of that caliber falls to 30, I'm hopping all over that. And then defensive line, I mean, I think we both agree. I've got Derek Harmon slightly above Kenneth Grant. I know a lot of Bills Mafia are hoping for Kenneth Grant at this point because he is the big body guy that can eat up double teams, can free up Ed Oliver. But dude, when it comes to pure pass rush situations, if Derek Harmon is there and you're talking about 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, where the Buffalo Bills had an issue getting off the field last year, you get immediate pocket compression teaming up Harmon and Ed Oliver together. And I just love that pick. And then I think this is probably a little rich for pick 30, but I love Talik Williams out of Ohio State. He's another big body dude, 6'3", pushing 329, maybe 330, depending on where the scales are at that day. But he's another dude who kind of fills that Jordan Phillips type of role and can be a really solid backup to Daquan Jones.
Yeah, I like Talik Williams. I think they'd be overdrafting to pick him at 30. And it would really be a situation that I'd be taking him if nothing else was available and the CBs were not the impact players. I agree completely on Malachi Starks. It would be kind of a departure from a need, but if his value is so high that it'd be like passing on, who was the safety out of Notre Dame that the
Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah. It'd be like passing on Kyle Hamilton dropping, dude. Right?
Yeah.
You'd be passing on somebody who's like an actual difference maker, who fell kind of to a place on the board that you were not expecting them. And it is again, a deep draft for the defensive line, the kind of draft that if some of the key starter contributors are gone, you just wait because your next tier, the next shelf of players you have is in the second round anyway, where you have two picks. You know, if you can't get one of those top tier players and Malachi Starks is available. Because, yeah, I agree. Investing for the Bills in the safety position with a young talent who's going to be available on a cheap rookie deal for 4 years, that's too important to the Sean McDermott defense and the Bobby Babich defense to not take that.
Yeah, dude. What are your thoughts on Nick Emmanuel? Because he's a dude who's likely going on the first round. The athletic profile jumps off the page.
Oh, yeah.
He's 6'3", 220, 4'3", speed. He's a ball hawk, super intelligent. You listen to his teammates talk about him, and he can pretty much fit any scheme. That being said, when you watch his film, there is a strong improvement in his play the closer to the line of scrimmage he gets.
Yeah.
And I think as freaky as he is athletically, he's already duplicating a set of skills that we have in Cole Bishop and Taylor
Rapp. Yeah, that's my problem with Nick Emmanuel, is I think that he reminds me of Tremaine Edmonds. He is an athletic outlier. Like, he is an absolute special person when it comes to his natural athletic ability. He has to see it and react to it, as opposed to somebody like a Matt Milano, who isn't an outlier special case physically, but has an intuition, you know, piles upon piles of intuition. That's also the difference for me with Malachi Starks and Nick Emmanuel, is like Malachi Starks has like the actual instincts that I look for in a defensive kind of impact player. And I think even the safety from Notre Dame this year,
Xavier Watts.
Yeah. Xavier Watts also has those instincts without the athleticism. Like, his athleticism is not great comparatively. Of course, Nick Emmanuel was like basically setting all of the records for DBs. And so I don't see the fit for what the Bills need. I think that they could make it work if he was the best player on the available, because I still think he's a first round talent. I just don't know that he's not the player they need in that position. Because yeah. I also think Tremaine Edmonds was a first round talent. I don't think that was a bad pick when they took it. And, you know, he put in his time. He was leading tackler on the team for 4 years. Never was like a huge splash play guy. That's sort of how I feel about Nick Emmanuel. He'd probably be a good pro and a reliable starter. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he'd be like a major change maker on the defense.
What about Mike Green? Because I noticed you left him off your edge rusher list. What do you think about Mike Green out of Marshall? Led the FBS this year in sacks. He's got that similar kind of lighter profile, more bendy. But, dude, I watch his film. I know there's off-field issues. I watch his film, and he just has a ready-made set of moves to win at the point of attack that I think – I think he translates into the league like Micah Parsons translated into the league.
That's heavy praise. This
dude can play.
Yeah. No, I know he can play. I know he led FBS in sacks. The off-field issues are a little bit worse. Was he the one who was just arrested? Like, somebody was just arrested.
That wasn't him. That was one of the Georgia kids. I think that was that Mikel Williams?
Oh, maybe. Somebody, one of the edges was just arrested.
It was a Georgia player, okay. Yeah.
Oh, was it? A Georgia player got arrested? Surprise.
Damn, dude.
No. And that's just looking at the facts. I saw there was a meme or, you know, something I saw on like the Twitter sphere X or whatever. And it was like Georgia's alternative uniforms. And it was, you know, a jumpsuit, like a prison jumpsuit. They've had a lot of people get arrested. Yeah, that is not an untrue thing to say. Mike Green, I do like his game. I worry a little bit about how it translates to the NFL because I don't think he is an absolute outlier athletically. His speed, and he does have bend, but to me it looks like college bend, not NFL. You know what I mean? Like for me to watch a defensive end in college and feel like they're going to make that kind of massive jump to the NFL and be able to translate it onto the field against bigger, longer tackles. That's the biggest thing, is like college tackles aren't 6'7" with 36-inch arms. Like not always. And it's pretty rare. Those ones get drafted and that's a smaller percentage of the offensive linemen. So I, that was my thing, was watching Mike Green. I think he made a lot of really, really mediocre to poor offensive linemen look terrible. And I worry that wouldn't be as effective. I think that the Bills, the last year draft pick that they made out of TCU? No. Who did they pick up in the fifth round last year?
Javon Solomon.
Javon Solomon has a little bit of that.
Out of Troy.
Yeah, out of Troy. You're right. Has a little bit of that little bit of Mike Green. Mike Green's a better athlete. Javon Solomon, and a bigger athlete. But Javon, I feel the same, that like, oh, I see the skills and I see the like instincts and it looks good. And the moves are, the hand fighting is good. The moves are there. I think it would be a project a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough. Is there a position, not necessarily a player, but is there a position outside of edge, interior defensive line and cornerback, let's say DB, right? Cornerback, yeah. Safety. Is there a position outside of those three or four that would surprise you if the Bills went to it number 30? It's Lion season, right? Take this with a grain of salt, but there has been reputable NFL reporters saying that the Bills are potentially looking at linebacker with one of their top picks. How do you feel about this scenario?
I think that's a smokescreen. Because here's what we have. So the Bills have just locked up Terrell Bernard long term. So they have their like defensive signal caller, center fielder in the second level of the defense. Matt Milano restructured his deal. He's over 30, and he restructured his deal to go into free agency after this coming season. And then they have Dorian Williams, who looked better and better as the year went on last year. And so he, I believe, is kind of the heir apparent. They drafted the linebacker Edifuan Olufosio.
Out of Washington
last year.
Unimpressive.
A question, right? Like
unimpressive, yeah.
So I can absolutely see linebacker being a need in this league or in this draft. I don't see it happening because the linebacker class is kind of weak before the fourth round. I think that they will make a pick at linebacker, but I don't think it's going to be before the fourth round. Poo Paul is maybe a third rounder. Chris Paul.
Chris Paul Jr. out of Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. He's maybe a third rounder. That's the picture. And they've shown interest. He came on a visit.
Yep.
That's the kind of player I could see with that kind of coverage linebacker, speedy receiver, out of the slot stifler. I could see coming in the third round if the Bills are able to trade back or trade into with some of their fourth and fifths.
Yeah.
To grab.
Yeah, fair enough. Any other positions that would surprise you? They're not taking an offensive lineman.
No, they're not taking an offensive lineman. They're pretty stacked in offensive linemen. They're not taking a running back anywhere in the top three rounds.
God, wouldn't that be a message to send to James Cook?
Well, I was just actually texting with my nephew about the Bills' upcoming draft plans, and I said, if the Bills select a running back above the fifth round, James Cook will be traded either on draft weekend or shortly after.
I mean, even if, yeah, I don't think they're going to either, but it's a really deep running back class. I do think they're going to splash a pick at running back.
Just you think
to
so? See
I think they are, yeah. And I've held this belief even before James Cook made his $15 million Instagram demand. It's just, it's such a deep class. They're always splashing at this position in the draft, be it in UDFA territory or late round picks. And with a class this deep, and Cook going into a contract year, there's no way they pass on somebody. So I think they absolutely spend a fourth or even a fifth at some point on a running back.
Yeah. How about
Wide receiver would actually surprise me if they went first round, depending on who is on the board. I think we all assume Travis Hunter will be gone. We all assume Matthew Golden will be gone. And then beyond that, I'm not really invested necessarily in like a Luther Burden in the first round. The kid out of Ohio State, Amika Ebuka. I'm not really interested in him. I think it's a duplicative skill set with Shakir. Khalil Shakir.
Yeah.
Right. We have a lot of slot guys. We need a dominant dude on the outside. Maybe Keon Coleman's that, but I would be really shocked if they went like with a Jaden Higgins, for example, or a Jalen Royals at pick 30. I would also not be surprised if they traded out of the first round, depending on how the board fell. If you still have like a Jackson Dart sitting there at 30, or you've got a Jalen Milrow sitting there at 30, and you've got a team like Cleveland, or you've got a team like the Giants,
or New Orleans, who
pick early on in the second round, and they want to jump at one of those guys, I could see the Bills moving for the right deal, doing a pick swap for a fourth and a third, and then trading down to the second round for 30. I could see them doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's actually kind of one of my nightmare scenarios, is that they have a situation where there is not an interior defensive lineman, an edge, or a CB that they consider an impact starter day one. And they have to trade out, because that's really it for me. If none of those three positions are available and they could look at and be like, that is an 80% or 70% snap guy on the line, or that is a 100% outside corner starter, they're probably going to look for trade partners, and there's probably going to be trade partners with where the Bills pick and the quarterback class and people wanting a fifth year option.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. So that is going to be tempting for them. All right, JJ, you mentioned nightmare scenarios. I want to talk about some guys that we would love to pick in the later rounds, but let's talk about first round nightmare scenario. What is your top nightmare scenario here?
The top nightmare scenario is that the Buffalo Bills use their first pick on a wide receiver, and it's a wide receiver who has a similar profile to Gabe Davis, where they get the body catching, 4.7 speed guy who's just a good football player. Like, that's my absolute nightmare. It's that, or it's picking a offensive tackle because the value was just too big, or picking a slight framed tight end to be their third tight end because, they don't expect to get Greg back. So, yeah.
Yeah. That would be malpractice. I do think they're going to splash at a tight end too, because this is another really deep class. But, I mean, Tyler Warren's not going to be available at 30. I'd be shocked if Colston Loveland is available at 30. Both of those guys, by the way, immediately would push Dalton Kincaid for starting reps. So Mason Taylor is a guy who's probably available, but a tight end pick at 30, I think Buffalo Bills fans would riot. You just got to see what you got in Dalton Kincaid. And you got to give the kid a chance to play a full healthy season and see what he can give you. This is going to sound terrible. I don't hate offensive tackle. Like, depending on how the board falls, that's not a nightmare scenario for me. It's not desirable, but with the depth of the tackle class, let's say one of the Joshes is available. Let's say Josh Simmons or Josh Connerly, Ohio State and Oregon respectively, are available. If they're at 30 and there's not an interior defensive lineman you love, and you know that you've got a couple of picks in the second round that you can splash around in the secondary with, why not take one of those guys and hedge for the future?
That is a trade out scenario 100% of the time. If really? You're bored, for me, if you're
for
bored.
For one of the Joshes?
Yeah, for one of the Joshes? We love Joshes. We Joshes love are Joshes. Wonderful.
We get
yeah.
this Josh thing wrong in the draft, yeah. man. Let yeah. me tell you.
I know. No, but I'm saying, like, it's a trade out scenario because you would be adding to a position. You just locked up Spencer Brown. You just redid your left tackle in Deion Dawkins. You have legitimately two tackles on depth of your depth chart that could start for any NFL team that needs a tackle. It's a situation where you have four players for the position that are ready to go today, and then you invest the, you know, best possible dart you have to throw at an impact defensive player. Yeah. No.
I get it. It would have to be a very specific scenario for me. I'm just saying it's not a nightmare scenario
okay.
for me. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. My nightmare scenario is the Buffalo Bills trade up for with Cincinnati for Trey Hendrickson.
No. Like, wait, the Bills give away their 30th and let Cincinnati come into the round to get 30-year-old Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah. Okay. No. That the Bills trade. You just said.
Yeah. That they move down.
Correct.
Let Cincinnati come up, take Trey Hendrickson, and then have to pay him $27 million a year.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not the scenario that I want to see happen. And I don't think the Bills give up 30 for Trey Hendrickson, but I mean, listen, again, it's Lion season. I'm knee deep in reading everybody's hot take about what the Bills are going to do. Hendrickson is still sitting out there without a new contract.
Yep.
And the Buffalo Bills giving up first round value, even if it's late first round value, to an AFC rival for a guy who, I get it, he's led the league in sacks the past couple of years. He was a guy that you and I were hot and cold on when he came out in free agency from New Orleans. But that's a rental, right?
Yeah.
That's a rental. And at 30, you should be able to get cost controlled value, which is what you need when you've just re-signed your star QB to one of the largest contracts in NFL history.
Yep.
I feel like at that point the value is too high. Would I give up one of the second rounders for Hendrickson? Probably, but I still got to pay him, right? And that's the problem with this whole scenario.
Yeah, I don't think that scenario is going to play out just because of the money of it. They just don't have it. They have some levers to pull. They could make that money, but it's to do that would be almost a Saintsian type of cap management scenario, and Bean has never shown that he's like willing to mortgage the future to pay some guy a huge contract that you can't necessarily afford after the second year.
Right. I mean, he made that mistake with the second Diggs contract extension that no one asked him to make, including Stephon Diggs. Right.
Yeah.
And we're finally out from under that. So, yeah. But that would be my nightmare scenario is they lean too hard into this veteran trade market and they pay a steep price. I don't get the sense that the Bills are feeling that urgency, though, but that would be a nightmare scenario for me. Absolutely.
No, I think it's different, if they didn't sign Joey Bosa. It would be different if they didn't have a veteran difference maker option who they're kind of betting on traits, traits wise and production wise. They do have that. And so I think they're probably a little bit more comfortable taking a flyer on somebody with a 30th pick.
Yeah, I agree. And again, you want that fifth year option, which is so important in the assessment of a player.
Yep.
It was so important in the assessment of Greg Rousseau. So yeah, I'm all about this. All right. Who are some later round picks? And it doesn't have to be specific in order of any round, but who are some guys, JJ, that are not on everyone's big board for the first round that you'd love to see the Bills target in their later rounds?
I think that Kyle Williams, the wide receiver, is somebody that I like. I really like Jordan Phillips, the good Jordan Phillips.
Out of Maryland.
Yeah, out of Maryland, because I think that he's got He's got all the things that the Jordan Phillips that Bills fans are so familiar with has had, but he's a plus athlete and he has more production. And so let's get the younger, hotter version of Jordan Phillips. And that's probably around 4-5 guy. Jamari Caldwell out of Oregon is a good defensive interior guy I like as well. CJ West, Indiana, somebody that I would take as well in the later rounds. Again, these are kind of bigger plugger guys who don't necessarily have a lot of upside in terms of pass rush ability and skill, but they definitely bring their chops with run stuffing and those opportunities. I'm just talking like defensive players, really. I mentioned Poupal already, Chris Paul Jr. You know, Kobe Bryant, CB.
Out of Kansas. Yep.
You know, some people have compared him to the Kansas cornerback that came out a few years ago that's excellent. I can't think of it.
Oh, God. Who is that?
Yeah. Same physical profile. You know, I've mentioned in talking to you before, Benjamin Morrison, I think, out of Notre Dame has an excellent kind of pedigree. And is coming off an injury, so you got to make sure your medicals are right, but would have been a top 15 pick if he didn't get injured, and could be a steal in their round two, round three. Dorian Strong, love that guy. Iowa, 6'4", 200 pounds.
Love it.
Former track athlete, former wide receiver. He has the hands of a wide receiver, the speed of a track athlete, and the body of a linebacker. Could you get any better? But he's a one-year starter, so you're really kind of projecting. How about you? What are some of those later kind of mid third, fourth, fifth round guys that you think could be steals?
I'm looking at Landon Jackson, edge out of Arkansas. Love that dude. He's still putting it all together. You can see on the tape some of his disjointedness where he is making a decision for what he wants his body to do, but he is not yet trained and polished enough at the position to execute fluidly, right? I think that's a dude that with some coaching has some really elite traits. 6'6", 264, mm-hmm. Ran, I think, a 4.46.
That's 40. Fast.
This dude's wild. Or 4.56, sorry. Yep. Ran a 4.56, which is still amazing, right? For the edge position. This is a dude who a lot of Bills Mafia fans really like too. I just think he is, we want to be the guys that he puts it together with, right? We want him on our team when he kind of figures that stuff out. Sticking on the defensive line, I know we're going to argue about this one and I'm totally fine with that. I'm ready to take your poison darts here on this one. But Deion Walker, this year's Tavondre Sweat to me. How much did we like Tavondre Sweat and how many people missed on him because of the fact that they didn't think he had any pass rush chops? Give me Deion Walker in like the fourth round, right? We've got so many picks to throw away in the fourth and fifth round. Give me a dude who plays with a lot of speed, plays with a lot of ferocity with his upper body. Yes, he doesn't have his pad level necessarily right all the time, but you can't teach 6'7 and 330 pounds. You just can't in the middle of that. He's a big block eating dude. And I think if you can figure out some of his lower body mechanic inconsistencies, you've got a dude who's going to be a starter for a long, long time.
My problem is exactly what you just said.
I'm not saying take him in the second round.
If you can figure out his lower body mechanic, like at this point, and he's 21, so he's still young.
I get that.
But at the same time, like the question of if you can figure out his lower body mechanics, somebody who's 340 pounds should not be getting blown off the ball when double teamed, like I've seen him get blown off the ball when double teamed. I'm not interested in big and athletic if you don't understand the mechanics of the position. And that's he is big and athletic, and that's nice. He is just a mess when it comes to his hand fighting and the mechanics.
He's not terrible. He's meat.
better at hands than I think I, you know, I'd give him credit for.
His hands are fine. It's really the mess that is everything below his waist.
Yeah. It is definitely like driving with power. It's getting his hips under his pads. It's moving people off the ball and like getting push. Like those are big enough marks for me that I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah. No, I feel you on that. I do think there are a couple of need areas that we haven't really talked about that are sneaky for the Bills. I think linebacker is a need. I think, especially with Milano's pending departure, and listen, there hasn't been a good linebacker draft class to come through necessarily in a while, but I do think they're going to take a look at linebackers with some of their later round picks. I think a dude like Demetrius Knight out of South Carolina. He's a bit of a tweener type. He's 6'2", comes in at like somewhere between 230 and 237. I think he's a dude whose traits they would really like. He ran a 4.5. He ran a 4.5, which is great end-to-end speed for a linebacker. I think he's a dude that they potentially take a look at. And then I think they're going to... David Edwards played really, really well. He's got a very manageable contract. I know Alec Anderson is waiting in the wings, but I think the Buffalo Bills are still learning the lessons from that Cincinnati Bengals game a couple years back, and they're going to want to invest in the interior offensive line later on in this draft. I think one of their fifth or sixth round picks, I could easily see them take a project guard that they put behind Alec Anderson. I think of a guy potentially like Emory Jones Jr. out of LSU. And then bear with me. My computer is loading very, very slowly. Another guy who I think they might take a shot on is, let's see, where was he? He's the kid out of Kansas State. What's his face?
A guard
out of Kansas State. Like, and he might be in UDFA territory, quite frankly. Where did he go? Here it is. Easton Kitty. I mean, the name, but he's a fifth-year senior. He's 6'4", 308, a little bit lighter than the Osiris Torrance type that they went through in the mall in the run game, but he's got some versatility to his game. I think you put him in that offensive system with Aaron Cromer and Joe Brady. And I think he's a dude who, if he adds a couple of pounds, could be one of those nice, tuck them away off the UDFA list for a year and could be a guy that you want to look at.
All right. I've got a couple of linebackers that I like for the second round, maybe the third round. Maybe Jeffrey Bassa from Oregon drops into the fourth round.
That'd be nice if that happens.
I like him. He is basically this class's version of Matt Milano. He's a converted safety, smaller frame, smaller body, but a better athleticism than a lot of linebackers you'll see. And it definitely projects to be a Mike or a Will outside linebacker in a 4-3. I like Demetrius Knight. That was a good suggestion. Carson Schwesinger
out of UCLA
is a good coverage linebacker who will get washed out in the run game a little bit because he's a smaller frame again. But what we know from the Bills is that they prefer to have smaller coverage linebackers. They sideline to sideline athletes. They always talk about we need them to be coverage flexible first because the defense is too variable to not have them be. They're never going to sign, you know, a Patriots-esque linebacker who's just a downhill thumper. They haven't done that.
Jack Campbell.
They're never going to go after a Jack Campbell because their ideal is that everybody can cover everyone on the defense so that you're not getting killed in short passing.
They do not care about defending the run. We understand this is Bills fans.
Yeah. Yep. Stop the pass and be able to pass.
Yeah. And then another area I look for me is safety. I know we depart on this one too. I really like Andrew Mukuba out of Texas. Mm-hmm. That dude just reeks of Micah Hyde traits to me. He's not the fastest guy in the world. He ran a decent 4.45 40. The long speed doesn't necessarily show up on tape, but the change of direction does. The ball instincts are there. He's a project when it comes to tackling securely in the run game, but overall he's a little bit of a lighter dude. Overall, though, he gives you a profile in that safety room that you do not currently have. You've got a lot of thumpers in that room with Bishop, with Rapp. You know, jury's out on Forrest and his athletic profile, though it says plus rating to me. But you don't have anyone that is elite away from the line of scrimmage in that safety room. And I just think Mukuba addresses that.
I mean, I wouldn't hate Mukuba. I think he is aggressive, and his size would worry me a little bit with how aggressive he plays. You know, getting in there and banging around is probably not going to go well for his size.
Dude, Taron Johnson's made a career out of it. Come on.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. I think that, I like a couple of, the problem is the safeties I really like in this class are box safeties, and we have two box safeties already.
We are set on box safeties. Yeah,
and so, you know, somebody like Jalen Reed, somebody like Jonas Sanker, there's a lot of really good safeties that I think are, but their profile is not so good. Sebastian Castro, I think, is somebody who could be a deep middle.
Yeah.
He doesn't have great athleticism, but he reminds me a little bit of Micah Hyde in that regard, in terms of he's not going to be the guy, the makeup speed, but he just is really intuitive about reading routes and knowing where he needs to be. And I very much like him to be able to cover the top in that way. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Are the Buffalo Bills going to finally draft some speed JJ at wide receiver? I don't think they're going to, again, unless a Matthew Golden falls to 30, I don't think they use one of their top three picks on a wide receiver. I think it's all defense all the time. But let's say, who's the kid from Virginia Tech? Jalen Lane. Let's say Jalen Lane is sitting there early in the fourth round, and you've got the opportunity to trade up and get him. 5'10", 191, ran a 4.3, 4.40. Is that the type of speed that you want to see on this team? Is it Keandre Lambert-Smith, the kid who I've got on my list out of Oregon, ran another 4.3, a little bit taller at 6'1", 190?
Is it Dante Thornton Jr., who people are comparing to, who the heck was just traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf, yeah. People are comparing their body types and abilities.
Tennessee. Go ahead. You say your piece about him. Go ahead.
Oh, were you about to say that Tennessee's offense creates nothing but messes?
How do you scout? I mean, we were both on the Jalen Hyatt bandwagon a couple of years ago. How do you scout anyone on that offense? Like,
I know.
It's a lot of repetitive nonsense routes. They're not running a pro offense. There's no route tree for these guys. Like, all Tennessee produces are ridiculously fast, athletic wide receivers that have a massive learning curve at the NFL level.
That can't figure out a playbook for their life.
Seriously.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Isaac Tesla is somebody who's also a little bit fast, round 4 or 5. Savion Williams, I think, is his name.
TCU.
From TCU. Yeah. Who's
he's
got
a 4.4 guy.
Yeah, he's a little bit slower. In my opinion, if the Bills pick, if their first three choices, the 30, 52, or 56, and 62, if those three are defensive players and at least one of them is a defensive interior and at least one of them is a cornerback, they can use every one of their fourth and fifth rounders on running backs, wide receivers, and linebackers. I don't care. Like, I at that point, I don't care. Like, I just need you to fix your defense so that it's not just Josh Allen score 50. Because we'll never stop anybody. Like, fix the defense with the first top three picks, and then give me throw as many darts as you want at a speedier wide receiver who can be a field stretcher, because I think that is a component that's missing in this offense.
It's been missing for years, and we've been screaming about it for years.
Since John Brown's first stint with the team.
Seriously, man. Seriously. Another, and this is kind of one of where I wrap it up. Voluntary workouts have begun. James Cook, no show. First thoughts on this, and it's going to lead me into a draft question. But your first thoughts, is this a big deal or is this no deal that James Cook is not there?
I think it's no deal. I think it's no deal right now because it's still so early. People will miss the voluntary off-season workouts for so many different reasons. Family events, vacations, you know, weddings, etc. I do think he's holding out, like he's starting a holdout now. Like, I think that's accurate. I think his reason, you know, he probably could have cleared a schedule to do this and chose not to. And But I think it's no deal right now. Talk to me again once mandatory minicamp comes through. At that point, if he is still not appeared, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I said this earlier on, I think the Bills were going to splash with how deep this running back class is. They were going to splash a late round pick, day three pick at running back anyway. Is there a guy who you see on your running back board that you would love to see the Bills target on day three? I've got a couple in mind.
Yeah. Why don't you go first? Because I'll fill in the gaps.
DJ Giddens out of Kansas State.
Yep.
4.4 speed. 6'6", right around there, about 212. Decent hands out of the backfield. Really kind of gives you that James Cook ability to play the first couple of downs. Trevor Etienne.
Yep.
Etienne. Out of Georgia. You probably need to catch him in the third round potentially. So he's probably a trade back into the round scenario, but 4.42 speed, a little bit on the smaller side at 5.9, pushing about 200 pounds. But listen, man, Georgia program, their guys catch the ball out of the backfield. Yep. They play with great speed. They hit the hole quick. ETN could be a really good fit. And then just from a pure speed standpoint, because I love a good 4.3 time, Bishel Tutten out of Virginia Tech.
I like dude, him a give lot. Me that.
Give me that dude early in the fourth round and like, let's cook. No pun intended. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So and yeah, that's the thing for me is like Bishel Tutten is one of those players that I feel like you can get in the fourth or fifth round and could provide you the same kind of long speed game-breaking ability of James Cook, not to the same level. I think James Cook is a really complete back. He's just not reliable in pass pro on third down, and I think the same is true for Bishel Tutten. I really like Devin Neal, who is kind of like Devin Neal reminds me of a more athletic Devin Singletary. Like Devin Singletary was a fine start. He is a fine starting running back.
Very
in the league.
Capable. Yes.
Could do everything you want a running back could to do with decent and not even exemplary blocking, can turn every carry into a four yard gain. Like, you know, like I think that Devin Neal is one of those players out of Kansas. You know, he's like 6-something and 200 pounds. So he could do the job. But yeah, Bishel Tutten is the player that I'm like, ooh, you know, if we need somebody who's like home run ability, that could be the guy.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Lots of options on the board, man. I think to summarize everything, where the Bills have set themselves up, this to me is the draft year where the Buffalo Bills have best set themselves up to draft best available player in an impact position. The depth on the defensive line, especially on the interior, is still questionable. But because of where the Bills have set themselves up in the first and second round with the capital they have, if Derek Harmon's not there, if Kenneth Grant isn't there, I don't want them stretching the 30th pick to reach for a guy who they might be able to get with one of their second round picks. Same thing with cornerback. The depth is a concern, even though Trey White is back, Dane Jackson is back. Neither of those guys are a reliable outside option to me, opposite of Christian Benford, but they really help you should Benford go down or should there be injuries that hit that room. But the Bills have left themselves in a position where they're going to have options at 30 and they're going to have options in the second round too. They have needs on defense, but they've got the draft capital to address those needs early on in the draft. And then to your point earlier, after you go in some order of defensive line, edge, DB, do whatever you want. Yeah, do whatever you want. Yeah, address those three needs with your first three picks and then do whatever you want, right?
Yep,
and that's a credit to how Bean has constructed this roster in this offseason with, again, a limited amount of cap space, being able to really raise the floor and ensure that the floor of this team remains 10 wins and competitive in the AFC East, right? Pre-draft. Yep. Not a lot of other teams can say that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's kind of where I'm at, you know, now – a couple of days away from the draft is fix your defense, do whatever, throw some darts.
Right. First three picks, fix the defense, and then, you know, bring in a running back to challenge James Cook.
Yes. Trade James Cook for a second.
Oh, yeah. God. I mean, is that so? All right. So let's end on this, right?
Yes.
James Cook, you and I have had this talk about, do you sign him? Do you not sign him? I do. I believe if I ran the Buffalo Bills, I would sign James Cook. Mm-hmm. With the cap going up to where it is, I would do it, but I'm a fan. I understand that you can find replacements for running back, despite what happened with Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley this year, with the incredible years they had for their new teams. I think that will continue to prove to be more of an outlier. And the fact that Nick Chubb and J.K. Dobbins are still free agents on the running back market shows me that the league has not changed their perspective on the value of running backs. So that being said, I feel like Cook will successfully play out the final year of his contract. He'll go get signed by like the LA Chargers, right? Yep. Or something like that. We'll thank him for his service, but then we'll replace him moving forward. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the Bills are going to do. And that's why Brandon Bean runs the team and I don't, right? So what do you see the trajectory or the future for James Cook with the squad?
I think it's the same. I think that they've proven with Devin Singletary that they set their prices with running back. And if you don't take that deal, then thank you, right? Like, goodbye. Because I think that they see the running back position, like so many GMs, so many teams in the league see it, is we can get by. Like, as long as we have our critical needs on offense covered, we'll find somebody to do that job, right? Like, it's more important that the tackles, the guards, and the center are better than the running back. Because if those guys aren't good, you're not going to get anywhere anyway. And so, you know, we've seen plenty of running backs waste the prime of their careers behind terrible offensive lines.
CJ Spiller.
Yeah. That, and we've also seen plenty of running backs in the league who were incredible, who left good situations and were terrible, right? Because
Le'Veon Bell
was the exact example I was thinking of, is players who ran behind an excellent offensive line and were lighting the league on fire and then go other places, hold out, have all of these kind of things. I think that if James Cook played for the Patriots last year, he doesn't break 1,000 yards. He definitely doesn't get 16 touchdowns.
No way.
Right? Like, he gets 4 touchdowns, breaks a couple of long runs, probably a 600 or 700 yard running back with maybe 20, 30 more touches, right? I just think that he's more of a product of the offense than the offense is a product of James Cook. Yeah. For that reason, I don't pay him $15 million, even though I projected that when, you know, I was on with the Shout guys.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. You were like, yeah, I'll give him $15 million.
And they were like, what? They laughed me out of the shop, but that's what he's asking for.
And I don't, depending on where the cap projects, I don't hate him in that number. No. But I also understand that the Bills, because they have secured their guys at so many other positions with all of the contracts they've doled out, their MO is they want to pay you before you reach market value and bet on your upside.
Yep.
And Cook has probably already reached the point where he's at market value and as such, too expensive for the Bills, right? So it just is what it is.
And that's all I think it is. I think he's worth $15 million a year. I think any team in the league would probably, his production is good if they have a solid line to get you $15 million a year worth of yards and touchdowns and catches and touchdowns. I just don't think that the Bills care about that value, knowing what they know about what their offense can do with a lot of different guys, including cheaper options like Ty Johnson, Ray Davis. You know, they had production out of those guys too. Giving those guys more of a share of the touches, their production is going to go up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Oh God, I cannot wait for the draft. I'm so excited to talk about this stuff. Yeah. Oh my God. We're back in it, folks. Yeah. Back in Buffalo Bills football territory. For all of you listening at home, thank you as always. Like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills. Go.